Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, Sacramento. How do you do this morning, Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project, and we are igniting the entrepreneurial revolution one small business at a time. Are you hanging today? Are you banging today? Because if you're hanging, that's fine. Relax. Sit back. Have a sip of that coffee. But if you are banging today, pull out that laptop and start taking some notes, my friends. Come on now. I am here with Marcus Haney. We are on a mission to unleash your full potential today, because you know what? That's what banging's all about. How you doing, Marcus?
I am fantastic. Fired up to be here on Holy Saturday.
Yeah, now it's April 15th. It's tax day. It is also the day before Easter. Are you hanging or banging today?
Well, as per usual on Saturday mornings, I'm here banging, but not always.
Not always banging.
Yeah,
now,
sometimes
that's,
I could be hanging,
sometimes
right?
You're hanging. Now, do you ever get caught? You know, hanging's cool. We got to relax. But when you're banging, you're at your very best, right? On your very best opportunities. But sometimes, don't we kind of get caught in between, kind of that no man's land?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do you do in that perspective?
Well, what happens to you?
I don't know if I ever get caught in that no man's land. If I'm
you
hanging,
don't want to get caught.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get caught. But when I'm hanging, I'm usually thinking about my next banging opportunity.
But sometimes you're not at your very best, right? There's those times of the day where you kind of look back at part of the day and you go, you know what? I don't know if I was at my very best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you kind of keep focus and really try to put yourself in a position. I use check boxes and stuff like that, the checklist, to really keep myself focused on things that really pertain to the core of my business that I try not to evade from.
Well, we've been talking these last few weeks about the barriers to bang and the barriers to be at our very best. And, you know, number one, lack of passion, not focusing on what we're good at. If you're not doing what you love, chances are you ain't banging. And number two, misallocation of commitment. If you end up getting yourself spread so thin, you're not committed to the right stuff, all in on the right stuff, you know what? Chances are, Marcus, you ain't banging. Yeah. Now, the third one, and that's going to be what we're going to be talking about a little bit more today, is our inattention to our purpose, right? Our big why. You know, what's really most important to us in our lives. And if we don't have that front of mind, if we don't have that, you know, in our thoughts, if it's not in us, you know what? Chances are we ain't banging.
Yeah, absolutely. In your gut almost, right? I mean, you have to be thinking about it 24/7 in order to be banging and change the world like you're doing over at Haney Biz.
Well, we're making an attempt and we're talking about our big why. What's your big why, Marcus? You got a big why?
Yeah, absolutely. With Haney Industrial Supply, my big why is to create an opportunity for veterans to be able to create their own entrepreneurial dreams as well. So, that is my big why, really trying to build an organization that has the ability to help others. And I got a bunch of passion, you know, wounded veteran myself, and I would love the opportunity to help other combat wounded veterans create an opportunity to live their own American dream.
Well, you know, it's the day before Easter. I figured you'd be talking about Easter egg hunting with your son.
Absolutely.
I know Hunter is a big why for you.
My number one why, absolutely.
And so is he.
Are we talking about hanging or banging?
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking about what's most important to us. And you know what? Maybe it's not the Easter egg hunt. Maybe it's what's maybe more important on Easter than hunting for those Easter eggs. They are important. But it's really the fun with the family and
what's inside
and
what the eggs.
And what Easter is all about. And, you know, today we're going to have some guests that are going to help us to better understand the meaning of our purpose in life. And, you know, I just got a question for you, Marcus. Now, how do you know, you know, we've been talking about your son and you know, how you as a single dad, you know what, it's got to be tough to, and your mom's out there right now listening to this. And, you know, she helps with the daycare of your son and babysitting. But, you know what? Do you know who the greatest babysitter ever mentioned in the Bible was?
The manger?
No, it was David. It was David because he actually rocked Goliath to sleep. So, yeah, that happened back in the day. But after the break, we will dive deeper into discovering our purpose with a few guys that know storytelling extremely well later in the show. we will meet CJ Alvarado, the founder of marketing firm Bamboo Creative. But after the break, we will meet a man that I think all of us can relate to, Pastor Kurt Harlow of Bayside Church. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project, presented by my buddies at Audi of Rockland. And today, I am joined by Senior Pastor Kurt Harlow of Bayside Church.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing so awesome. It's Easter weekend. How can you not be doing awesome?
Oh, now that's got to be an enormous day for Kurt Harlow.
It is a great day. It's filled with eggs. Easter is that holiday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by having small children push themselves over to get to candy. Honestly, it's just a lot of life in the church at this time, and it's the funnest weekend ever.
Now, how many services take place at Bayside?
3,492 services. No, I'm joking. There's over 20 services on five of our different campuses.
Wow.
And then there's Good Friday services, and there's Growth Track. I drive by our church all the time. The Granite Bay campus is where I live. And the parking lot is filled, and I don't even know what's going on there, Mark.
Wow.
I'm like, what's going on at my church? I have no idea, but I know there's a bunch of people there having fun.
There's that much going on at Bayside throughout the year, but obviously Easter is a huge, huge weekend. But can you give us an overview of Bayside?
Yeah, you know, we are a unique church in that we have five different campuses, and we have four senior pastors, four kind of guys at the top. And then besides even those four at the top, we operate very collaboratively. So we're like a big, loud Italian family that really loves each other and has a ton of passion for the community and, of course, for Christ. And it kind of gets played out all over the Sacramento area. And I like to say, we're the church for people that are not sure they like church. We're a church where you can kind of come and be yourself, and wherever you're at on that walk or journey, we're going to embrace you. We're going to love you. We want you there. We want your kids there. We want your spouse there. And we'll kind of do it together. That's the sort of church we are.
And people at Bayside, I go to Bayside, and probably not as much as my wife and I would like to.
Yes, I want to talk to you about that,
yeah,
Mark. I brought the attendance records.
I love Bayside because I'm inspired when I go there, but I also love Bayside because of the people, and there's so many volunteers. And this is a business show, and we're always talking about how to win in business and how to get things done. You have a lot of volunteers. How do you get so much done when we really have this big reliance on volunteers?
You know, that's an incredible question. The big thing is we tell people about the joy, the fun of taking risks. And it's really true in the entrepreneurial world. Like, I don't know if you remember, Mark, remember old school playgrounds? Remember back in the day, the way a playground was when you and I were growing up? You know, we didn't have bark. We didn't have mulch. We had hard, mean ground.
Yes.
And it wasn't made out of plastic with soft padding. We had metal. And you remember that one thing? It's called a merry-go-round.
Kind of made you want to throw up after you've been on it for
and
a while.
One big kid, every kid would get on it. One big kid would like. And then centrifugal force would just start sending kids flying. And if you didn't rip your jeans or come home with blood, you weren't playing that day.
True.
And so we got to tell people, no one gets to the end of life and says, man, I was not significant. I was so safe that no one noticed. People get to the end of life and say, I should have took more risks. So we just tell people, we say this all the time, get in the game.
Yeah.
You know, jump into the second grade room and serve. Or, you know, we just got back with 1,200 people who built 11 houses, served thousands of kids near Mexicali, Mexico. We do it every year. And people start off on that journey going, I wonder if I can do it. And they come back and say, I'll never do anything different during my spring break ever again. That was the most transformative moment of my life.
The people that go and build the homes and do the volunteering, they get as much out of it as the people on the other end who are receiving the home.
They get more. You walk around our camp. People are dirty. They're stinky. They're sleeping in tents. And every one of them looks like they were sleepwalking in a closet and got a hanger stuck in their mouth. I mean, the smiles are so big and so satisfying. You know what? It's a little secret to life. When we passionately serve others, we become our best self.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a way of living, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's some of us that if we see an old lady in the middle of the intersection and she's stranded, some of us, some people kind of jump out of the car and see if they can help, you know, push her to safety. And others sort of drive by. Why do you think some drive by?
You know, I think we are... Our problems are looming so large in our life. You know, like you're like any business owner, you're kind of going home and you're looking at all of the issues you got to solve. And the more you focus on those issues you got to solve, the bigger they get. Every once in a while, you got to like take out the other stuff and compare it. I put it this way. I said, listen, your problems are big. I don't want to minimize them. Every once in a while, hold your problems up to the size of God. And you'll see that they're not as big as you think. Yeah. And when you start actually loving other people, you'll realize, hey, my problems are manageable. My wife and I, we like to do a little bit of marriage counseling. We'll do some crisis intervention, get couples going on the right way. And I love it. You know why I love it? Because after we meet with couples that have real problems, I always look at her and say, babe, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
but we're doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
And getting involved in someone else's life, it just puts it in perspective.
And let's get with more of the business side of things in the church, you know, because I always wonder how, you know, Bayside has grown tremendously over the last several years. And if you're in the South Placer area, you know Bayside and you feel all the impact that it makes right there in our community. But what do you attribute to this growth, right? This enormous growth. You guys are like multiple mega churches. How do you do that from a business standpoint?
I'd say there's a couple main factors. Number one, people need hope. And I'm not talking about cotton candy, you know, that sort of hope. I'm talking about tangible, real works on Monday morning hope. And that's really what Jesus offers. When you get into the Bible, that's really what you get. Jesus says yes to folks. And so that's part of it. The other thing is, man, we have such incredible leaders. Ray Johnston and Lincoln Brewster, really Ray, the founding pastor, 4 years into it, Lincoln came around. Those two guys, and they couldn't be more opposite. Ray grew up in an executive home. He's really got a keen entrepreneurial mind. And then Lincoln is one of the most incredible. I mean, Lincoln's so talented. He of course, he's world-class guitar player, one of the best in the world. That's not an exaggeration. He's an incredible leader, and he can eat any carbohydrate he wants and not gain weight. It's like a superpower.
It makes his hair grow, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, no.
His hair kind of sticks up a little bit.
He comes out on stage. The second people see a mohawk, they're like, okay, it's not a cult. I know it's not a cult because there's a guy with a mohawk. So
okay, so you got
it's just
guys
the
like
leadership.
Okay, so you guys are all different guys like you, very relatable. You've got a great musician in Lincoln Brewster, an executive management guy like Ray. How do you guys make decisions?
I don't know, Mark. I don't know how it's done. You know, it's funny because if you ask people, you say any business person, you say, "Hey, do you like collaboration?" They'll all say yes, but when it really happens, they actually don't like it. And so, collaboration means you have to recognize something. You have to recognize the toughest thing you'll ever do, the heaviest weight you'll ever carry is your own ego. And when you start going, so we say it this way, we say we're in it for the win for people, not for the win for the leader. Or sometimes we say it this way, we say, you know, we're in it not for the process, but for the end result.
Yeah.
And that means there are multiple times where I go, you know what? I'm going to supplant my idea. I'm going to withdraw my input a little bit here and let you have your way. So there's real give and take.
The overarching philosophy or goal, that's if everybody can stay focused on that stuff.
Yes.
Of that.
Yes.
Now, what is
it's
that?
It's the win. It's the
what
touchdown.
Is that win for a church? Is that shaping, helping shape people's philosophy or their belief system?
You know, it's changed lives. It's you know, what we believe matters and what we believe manifests in our decisions. But you know what it is? It's a son connecting with his dad. It's a marriage that lost hope and comes back together. It's a kid with a smile on their face instead of being overwhelmed with homework and all the stuff that kids have got to carry today. So we're in it for changed lives. We love this story. My marriage was a wreck. I started submitting to Christ and what he's doing in my life. And all of a sudden, there's not just hope in my marriage. There's joy. in my marriage. So the end goal for us, it's got to be change lives. It's not numbers. It's not how many campuses. It's that smile on a kid's face when he looks at his mom and dad and says, man, there is hope in my family now since we've been coming to Bayside.
Now, you guys do so much outside the walls of the church, but when I walk through on a Saturday night is when I like to go, if I can, if I make it. but I try. But when I walk through that 1 hour time frame is kind of nonstop action packed, starting with music, starting with Lincoln Brewster. How important is the music? And then how would you contrast that to what happens later in the in that 1 hour time frame?
Sure. Well, I mean, the music's just absolutely crucial. It's one of the most important culture setters for us. When people walk into any business, any establishment, they get a sense. They're very keen about what you're about. That first kind of Lincoln Brewster wall of sound, it tells people two things. Number one, it tells them we're not too stuffy. That we take God seriously. We don't take each other too seriously. And number two, it tells them it's not going to be boring. I mean, think about this. This is Easter season. Jesus Christ, the most exciting, dynamic, controversial, incredible figure in all history. And some Christians have found a way to make him boring. Now, that's really talented. We want to tell people, man, you come to church, you're not going to fall asleep. You're not going to find this more boring. Christ was accused of a lot of things. He was accused of being a partier. He was accused of bucking the system. No one ever insulted him by saying he was boring. He just wasn't boring. Yeah. And so our music really sets that tone and that pace for us.
And then the next stage of the day, of the morning or the evening, the hour, is filled with a message typically that could be transferred to our daily life. It could be transferred to a day in the life in a, as a business person or an entrepreneur. It's clear. It's concise. There's usually three bullet points that leave you coming back wanting to share it in a business meeting the next day.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have the best job in the world because I get to plagiarize the Bible. I mean, the Bible works if you work it. And so honestly, it's really that simple. There's a ton of stuff in there that it just stinking works. And then, you know, most of the Bible's narrative, most of the Bible's story, and this is something everyone can learn. Dads can learn this. Business people can learn this. Story is so powerful. I know I think we're going to talk a little bit later about communication, but we're wired for story. Like sometimes I'll be up there and we're talking about a principle. And if I kind of say that I'm about to tell a story, you watch. Every 13-year-old ADDDDD boy in the audience, they'll just sit straight up. Like a story.
Yeah.
You know, we are wired for story. So story can be a compelling way. And what happens is when we start putting ourselves in the story, we start actually thinking and solving our own problems. I'll have people come up to me all the time and say, that's amazing that you said this. And I never said that. You actually were inspired to think that, which is a far more transformative and power idea that I got you in the story so much. You actually were speaking to yourself and changing your life by applying that more dynamically to you.
Kurt Harlow sharing the story of Bayside Church, and want to talk to you a little bit more about your personal story when we come back. But before we do that, we're going to bring up CJ Alvarado. He's with Bamboo Creative. He's the founder over there, a good buddy who is going to come in and get us caught up on what's happening over at Bamboo. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz's Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project presented by my buddies at Rockland Audi. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by CJ Alvarado, the founder of Bamboo Creative. How you doing, CJ?
Great. How are you?
Now, I remember the last time you were on a show was when we first started. Yeah. I think it was show number 2, and we finally get to bring you back. That was like 18, 20 months ago. I want to get caught up on what's happened in that last 18 to 20 months, but why don't you, for the rest of the people that maybe don't know you yet, can you give us an overview of Bamboo Creative and who is CJ Alvarado?
Yeah. So at Bamboo, we're really passionate about creating impact and value, and we say we do that by design. So when people think about design, they think logos, they think branding, stuff like that. But really, design is not just logos. It's how something works. Okay. It's how something makes a user or a customer feel. So we're in the business of creating that entire experience for people. So the easy way is people go, well, they're a marketing company. But it's more than that. You know, there's so much information hitting customers today. There's so much technology. How do you get noticed? How do you resonate with your customer? We're in the business of identifying that and then telling those stories in really compelling ways.
Now, how do you extract that from the client, right? The client calls you, or right, you're visiting the client and they say kind of what they want, but you've got to dive deeper. Yes. You've got to listen to what they really are trying to accomplish. How do you do that?
You know, what's interesting is like we have to dig. I feel like oftentimes we're empowering our guys to unleash their inner five-year-olds. You know, five-year-olds is always like, why are you doing that? Well, why should I do that? Well, why? There's a thing that happens with really great people who have been working for so long in something is that they can kind of become detached to the emotional core of what it is they're doing and what problem they're trying to solve.
Yeah. So, and you know, when you say unleash your inner five-year-old, I just look over at Marcus and I think of him for some reason. He's always saying why.
Right.
And so now you are getting them to talk to one another and ask the real tough questions.
Yeah.
And what's really behind this? It's not just, you know, what color logo are we going with?
No, because the customer doesn't care, Mark. You know, the customer is concerned about themselves. They're concerned about, how does your service or product going to benefit my life? And and what is the business guy concerned about? They're concerned about themselves. So our job is really to try to, you know, build a bridge between what is your strategic and business goals and what's the customer trying to achieve?
Yeah, so to help them achieve their goals. Now, in terms of your goals, get us caught up over the last 18 months. What's happened at Bamboo, and how has the business progressed?
It's been awesome. I mean, this last year has been really, really crazy for us. So we were working last year. We were able to bring to the region projects from the world's largest energy company. So Exelon's a $32 billion company. We're doing a big project with them.
Wow.
Design and innovation.
Where are they based out of?
They're based out of Chicago.
Okay, so this show is about helping Sacramento's entrepreneurial ecosystem and helping build small business here in Sacramento. So you're actually going outside and bringing clients into the Sacramento ecosystem.
It has been a ball. It has been so fulfilling to see that work come to this region, to see us get a shot at the table and compete. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing that. We're doing that with global type clients, but we're also working with incredible local guys like Titan. I think you had Titan Gilroy
on
your show, right?
So he's coming up. Yeah.
Is he really? Okay. We've done a lot of work with him and seeing his business just grow like crazy. So we're having a ball, man. This year has been incredible.
Now, clients, what do you look for? What's the ideal client for Bamboo? Because you're talking about mega multi-billion-dollar companies. I know a smaller, medium-sized company like Bayside's client.
Sure.
What do you look for?
Well, what we're looking for is the kind of clients who go, we have a core business. We know what we're doing. We know our strengths, but we understand the market's shifting and we want to go skate where the puck is going.
So to
use a Gretzky quote.
You bet.
Right. So we need, our best clients are those who are going, hey, we're open to how you get us there, where the market's shifting. Those are the folks who we want to work with.
Somebody with a big vision that
Absolutely.
You can help, a big mission to help them get to that, to that end result. Now you guys provide strategy and things like that in terms of marketing, but, as any business goes and puts together their plan, it includes a marketing plan, but there's threats and there's opportunities. For Bamboo, what do you see on the horizon as opportunity and even maybe threats?
Sure. You know, there's always that. There's so much information that's out there. This is the first time in history where we have access to so much information. That presents new challenges for any business. And for us, the accessibility piece allows any business owner to go find a creative or go find a marketer anywhere.
Right.
You know, so we're always having to navigate those waters, but we're up for the challenge, man. We're grinding.
Now, are you saying like technology, for example, is sort of a threat to the brick and mortar marketing company?
Sure. To everything.
Okay.
I mean, think about an industry right now that hasn't been disrupted by what's happening with mobile and digital. We're talking banking. We're talking the car industry. I heard something framed the other day as brilliant. The largest, you know, transportation company has no cars. The largest hotel company in the world has no hotels. The largest retailer owns no inventory. What is that? That isn't a result of what we're seeing with technology. So Alibaba, Airbnb, Uber, none of these guys have inventory. Dude, that's never happened right. before. So that is because technology is disrupting these industries. If you go, our industry hasn't been disrupted in 20, 30, 50 years, it's coming. That yes. technology is going to disrupt every industry.
Now, you can look at that as a threat or you can look at that as an opportunity. Right? So,
yes.
I mean, for somebody like Bamboo, for CJ Alvarado, I mean, is there a way to turn that into a big win? Or
Mark, we are passionate about seeing those threats and turning them into opportunities. I believe wholeheartedly right now there's so much opportunity for entrepreneurs, for business. If you're thinking about a startup, there are more tools available to you, more things you can do to get in the game right away. If you're a large company that has a legacy brand, there's so many opportunities for companies to tap into.
Now, we talked a little bit about purpose at the beginning, and it's sort of a something that's running through the theme of today's show. And how do you decide what your purpose in life is, and how do you keep that front of mind?
That's a great question, man.
What's the meaning of life, CJ?
I write a book, I'd have a bestseller on that one. You know
But I mean, why don't you just tell me, when you think about what's most important to you in building this business and Saturday morning, what's your big why?
Yes, for me, I feel like success is less about accumulation and more about adding value. I want Bamboo, and I want even my own life at the end of the day to be one that we're adding tremendous value and creating value. One of the things that excites me the most, Mark, is that we have the ability to create value. So maybe your company's at a long 20-year run being very successful on one curve. We all know things will degrade, right? Business cycles go up and then they come down. But we all have the opportunity to create something new and fresh and innovative and create new value. And man, I wake up every day just excited being able to do that.
CJ Alvarado, he is going to stick around. We're going to bring back on Kurt Harlow of Bayside Church. We're going to be talking about storytelling. As you can tell, both of these guys are excellent communicators. We're going to talk about how to communicate with passion, how to communicate in a way that gets your message across, how to tell a story. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project, and we will be back in just a minute.
Haney Biz Investorpreneur, Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited and the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney. Today I am joined by both Kurt Harlow and CJ Alvarado, two men who, you know, these guys have tremendous success in crafting a message. One is in the business of helping others to craft their message in Bamboo Creative, a marketing firm. And the other, Mr. Kurt Harlow, he brings that message to us every Sunday and, well, Friday, Saturday, and some weekends.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Every day. All right. So, you know, one of the ways that I think, and you talked about this earlier, Kurt, that I think getting a message across is most effective is through storytelling.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about, as leaders, you know, even as CEOs of businesses, if we're good at storytelling, if we can bring those stories into our life, into our business, it's way more effective. Talk to us about how you build a great story. How do you tell it? How do you build it and how do you tell it?
That's a great question. You look for what I call the slow motion moments of life. You know what I mean by slow motion? Like right before you're about to have a fender bender, life goes into slow motion. You're backing up at Target. You realize you're going to hit another car. All of a sudden, everything slows down. You think a million thoughts. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I didn't see that car. I can't believe my warning system didn't warn me. I'm going to hit the car. I have a $500 deductible. My wife's going to be mad at me. She had an accident last year. I wasn't mad at her. You think all of that. In a millisecond.
That's the suspense.
Yes. When you have those moments in life, those are your stories, man. People always say, Kurt, how do you get so many stories? I'm like, we all have stories. I'm looking for them because I see they're gold for reaching hearts and engaging heads. So once you start kind of going back through your life, and your life is phenomenal, you are the number one expert on you. Go mine your stories and then attach your stories to your purpose, and you're going to see incredible effectiveness in communication.
And then a great story, if I'm right, CJ, I'm the interviewer here, I'm going to challenge you here. Every great story, you have that turning point of that slow motion moment, and then there's a turning point, and everybody lives happily ever after, right? Does it always go that way?
Oh, no. I mean, I think story, it's definitely an iterative process where, I feel like what we're looking for is we're always looking to try to find that problem that resonates so deeply with people that they go, yes. And I think we've talked about this before. It's the difference between vitamins and painkillers. You know, a vitamin, everybody goes, oh, it's really great. I know I should take it. I got a cupboard full of them, but I forget. Yeah. A painkiller, if you have pain, you're going to grab that thing anytime you can. So when I'm thinking about stories, I'm going, how do we create a story that feels like a painkiller to people we're talking to? You know?
That way I wouldn't burp the fish oil afterwards.
You don't have nasty aftertaste.
So thinking about that, a lot of times it's a lesson. It's something that really, that story ends up leaving you with a better understanding of who you are deep down inside. And I guess, Kurt, that's what you talk about in terms of purpose.
We're wired for story. I mean, you take any kid on any continent in any age and you put them in front of a fire, what are they going to want? They want a story and they want a s'more. I mean, I don't care who they are. Your kids, what do they want? You sit at their bed and tell them a story at night. We're wired for narrative because that's how we learn best. Now, you got to be careful because story is so powerful, it can be powerful for bad too. Like if you don't know when to shut your story down, if your story goes too long or if it's too indulgent, humor can be just open up hearts and create access and opportunity. It can also shame and insult. So it's like a powerful tool. And if you're actually leading people and you haven't learned how to use that tool, man, one of the best things in your toolbox, that's where you need to go and sharpen that thing up.
Well, and being able to relate to your audience, CJ, is so important. And we've got the millennial audience may be different than I'm like the youngest guy of a baby boomer. And so we learn differently. We might appreciate a message delivered in different ways. How do you see that contrast? I'm assuming in marketing, you're faced with that kind of question every day.
All the time. You know, what we find is whether you are a church or a business, there's a temptation a lot of people give into. They think about their agenda first, then the platforms they're telling their stories on, and then their audience. Mark, if there's anything people hear, you got to flip that. You got to think today about the audience first, millennial or whatever, then the platform that they're choosing to listen to your story on, then your agenda.
Okay.
How does your agenda then serve those things? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've got to flip, especially today, because otherwise we are professional at ignoring. We can turn you off. We can turn you
off. Yes.
Whether you have the answer to all of my problems, if you're not communicating in a way that resonates with me, I can turn you off.
Right.
Really.
Now, probably the most relatable guy that I have been around, especially around Bayside, is Kurt Harlow. Kurt Harlow, I mean, you guys are all great speakers over at Bayside, but some people are a lot more relatable than others. Why are you so relatable, Kurt?
That's a really good question. I blame my mom. I do. I blame my mom. You know, I grew up in a very large family. I was a middle child, so the oldest
children. You had to please everybody.
The oldest children, you know, you're not the boss of me. The younger children, you got away with too much, right? The middle child, it's like, no one knows your name. And so to get noticed, I had to become a great storyteller. And people always say, how do I learn to be a good communicator? I'm like, get into a highly dysfunctional and large family that has regular dinner times.
Yes.
And honestly, Like if I could give people one hint, just on that relatability thing, self-consciousness in communication is just a killer. Think about yourself at Denny's at 1 a.m. with your friends, and you just had an incredible day, and the sort of stories you're telling there. Think about, you know, when you get together with your family, you probably tell the same 8 stories over and over again, and you laugh at them every family reunion. Those are the moments where you're not being conscious. You're just having fun relating significant meaning. If you can mine those, people often go, I get that. I've had that experience. I've done that. The other thing, too, is vulnerability. Vulnerability is a powerful, powerful thing. It's powerful for bad sometimes, so you got to be careful. But when you kind of get up in front of people and say, guess what? I'm secure enough to admit that I'm insecure. Let me tell you a story about that. I'm doing this thing at church all weekend where I just talk about my biggest temptation. I mean, the thing that brings me down, the thing that's going to take me out of the game someday, which is Oreo cookies. I mean, they're so...
Well, you mentioned the dinner table, right? And whether it be Denny's. I mean, Ronald Reagan said, all great change in America begins at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And now you guys are both family, man. CJ, you guys still sit around and have family dinner? Is that still happening in America?
Oh, yeah. Happens in the Alvarado house almost every night. We try to do it almost every night.
That's cool. Yeah. What kind of stories, what does the news of the day look like at the Alvarado family?
You know, my wife has this cool little thing she does. It's like your highs, your lows, just to get conversations going. You know, we've got the 9-year-old, and if we ask her, how's your day, it's just fine. So, you know, we have to provoke that a little bit more. So,
sure. Yeah,
we talk about highs and lows, and we get the convos going.
All right. Okay, so we're running a little out of time, so I'm going to give each of you guys like a second, maybe a minute, to give us some closing thoughts about crafting the message and delivering it for maximum impact. You want to start us off, Kurt?
You know, I like to think about a thing called inductive communication. Inductive means I don't tell you what to think. I invite you to start thinking. And so inductive could be asking questions. Like if you look at your presentation, turn every statement you have into a question, see how much more powerful it gets. Inductive is when you're personal, vulnerable, like we were just talking. But it's just a way of saying, man, if I can get you to actually take a step into the story, instead of me telling you what to think, man, it's just a total game changer. Like, for instance, if I were on a radio show right now, I'd mention BaysideOnline.com and the 20 services.
Right.
Oh, wait, that was pretty deductive. What I just did right there was deductive. Yeah. But I use humor, so it worked.
There's a
BaysideOnline.com, all the services right
what
there.
What a difference between preaching and,
he's a marketer.
Yeah.
See
that?
Yeah,
that was what we call a sneak attack in the biz.
Right.
I love that. Little tease. Okay.
Right.
All right, CJ, you want to wrap us up? Take us home,
man,
with some closing thoughts?
What I would say is the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug.
Oh,
that's so
man, focus
almost
on your
right
story,
word.
Man. You want lightning? You want to really like touch your customer? You got to focus on that story. It's important, man. It seems like it's not, but it is. Take the time to really focus on that narrative.
Yeah, that story is so much more important than just the words alone,
yes,
right, and the emotion. Well, I want to thank you, CJ Alvarado, Kurt Harlow. You guys were amazing today. I thought it was a fun show, and I want to thank our sponsors. And I look outside my window, and I see we got a little fan support today, and I'm looking for Richard Bodkin of Stifel Financial. He's not here. He's texting me.
He just left.
Richard, I hope you have it on AM Radio Sports 1140. I appreciate you helping me with this show. I know what you guys do over at Stifel and Wealth Management is so important in helping people to reach their financial goals. And you guys sponsoring this show is helping the entrepreneurial community. I really appreciate it. Also, Kim Silver's HR. If you've got employees, chances are you got some HR issues and you need an affordable solution to making sure that you are compliant. Kim Silvers has something that is off the charts, and she is a good friend, and she is supportive of the entrepreneurial community. And of course, Ethan Conrad and my buddies over at Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. Do not miss next week's show. We're going to have Dan Summers and Evan Lang of Go Capital, as well as Krista Bernasconi, owner of KFB Public Affairs. When we return, I will share my closing thoughts about keeping our purpose in the front of our mind. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited and Haney Biz Project, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
You know what, Marcus? We've been talking about stories. We've been talking about banging. We've been talking about barriers to banging, you know, which, you know, when we're banging, we're at our very best, but there's times when, you know, we are not at our very best. You know, the other night, just a quick story, I forgot about my purpose for a minute, and I, it was late, and I barked at my wife. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was tired. She did nothing wrong, but I was like, I don't want to talk about it right now, you know, I mean, I acted like a jerk, and when you are a jerk, it means you are not banging, Marcus. And I mean, that was really, I felt bad. I didn't have my purpose in the front of my mind.
Interesting.
And you know what? I was not at my very best. I did apologize. I don't know if that really worked too
well. So you caught yourself in the middle between hanging and banging then, huh?
Not a good sign. It was a bad look. And, but anyway, you know, we talk about, you know, when you're not at your very best, there's just things that hold us back. I mean, you want to share some closing thoughts about what you heard today in terms of storytelling, about being at your very best?
Yeah, absolutely. CJ said some really great things about storytelling and really thinking about your audience, which I think a lot of times as business owners, we start thinking about what our thoughts on a certain particular project or problem are and not really listening to the person who is really going to make the decision at the end of the day, and we try to implement what we think is right, which not always the case, right?
Yeah, so, you got to listen to your audience a
no
little bit.
No doubt. So I thought that was very, very positive. And, you know, keeping humor and the way that Kurt talked about your message and how you deliver it and the things that you do can either be positive or negative. So really try to shape that thing to the folks that you're talking to.
I loved how we described the, you know, when you're telling a story, to wait for that, or try to notice those slow motion moments
right.
of our life, right? And it's in those slow motion moments that really it sets up the suspense or the turning point.
It shows your character too, right?
You bet. And I mean, I share a lot of stories on this show. I share stories. It's sort of my style, I suppose, as far as being a leader, being a business person. It's how I communicate, you know, my message is through stories. And I think I learned some stuff today about how I can become a better storyteller. But I mean, we talk of a lot about the barriers to banging, and right, so it's lack of passion, you know, and one of the things that I try to add, how do you know what you're good at, how do you know what your gifts are, what your talents are? And I think sometimes we you know, that's one of the big barriers to banging, is we don't know what our gifts are. And it starts sometimes with our story. If you think, Marcus, about your big win story in your life, or if I think about a big win story, I think about what that meant to me. Maybe that's part of how I look in the mirror and discover what my talents are. And I think if I have that passion, I've overcome that barrier to banging. And the second barrier to banging is our allocation of commitment is not right. We've misallocated our commitment. Our best resources are not on our best opportunities. We bet on 1,000 things when maybe we should have bet on 1 or 2 or 3. And it's when we bet on the right things that we really advance the ball. And I think deep down inside, we know what those big things are. We know what's working in business and in our life, what's most important. And if we're at a point in time in our life when we don't know those things, we don't know what the best bets are, maybe we ought to carve out the things that we know are not the right things. We know that there are certain behaviors, certain people, certain opportunities that really do not tie to what we're all about. They do not tie to winning. And I think it's if we can simplify our lives, now we're down to the stuff we know fits. And from there, maybe we can better sort out the best opportunities, the best of the best, and put the maximum resources or effort or investment into those people, into those opportunities, into that way of thinking in our lives. But we've been talking about purpose today, right? And our big why. Marcus, you brought up your love of our country and the fighting men and women of our country, and how you are committed, your big why, right? Committed to helping these people that have fought for our country.
No doubt.
And we also talked about family and our big purpose. And I think if we know those are important to us. And I think if we can find a way to, you know, keep those in the front of our mind more often, then when we go to battle, when we go into doing what we intend to do, you know what? We're going to be banging. We're going to be so much better. But I mean, so many times, I mean, a lot of people think that being a multitasker is the best thing in the world. And I think it is for some people. It happens to be something I am horrible at.
Me too. What the heck?
I cannot. Then I think I recognize that in myself. I am not a multitasker. And so I think when I end up focusing and I keep my why in my front of mind, I'm a lot more effective. Whether that means I'm going to CrossFit, I've got to keep my why. Why am I going to CrossFit? What is this all about? Is it my counterclockwise philosophy so I can throw batting practice to my great-grandchildren? Yeah, maybe that's what I think about before I go to CrossFit, as funny as that is. But keeping these things front of mind is very difficult to do. And I think the topic of stories really relates to this, because one of the things that I do to keep things front of mind, I do it through symbols, right? So music brings me to what's important. I hear the song, might remind me of my wife, right? I listen to that on the show, before the show, every Saturday morning. I listen to music that reminds me of my children, grandchildren. It puts me remembering what's most important in life when I think about my purpose. You know, and that's why we play the Star Spangled Banner at the end of every show. It reminds us, that music reminds us. But those symbols, we have to place those in our lives. They don't just happen. We have to place them somewhere, whether it be music, the good books next to your nightstand. We have to place those symbols in our life. We have to be proactive about doing that. And so if you come over to Haney Biz and you come visit me, you will see symbols all around my office. You come in, and I invite everybody to come over, and you walk up into the Mark Tank, as we call it, where people pitch their cool ideas, and we talk about all kinds of stuff. And if you walk around, you're going to see symbols. You're going to see pictures of people I care about. You're going to see catchphrases that are meaningful between my daughter and me, Marcus and me. You're going to see things that are like, they remind me every day of what it's all about. And one of those symbols, tell a quick story, see if I can create a slow motion moment here. So one of those symbols that reminds me of why I am, and it really ties to, I think, as we tell a story, we have a hidden audience in some cases. I think in my case, I do, and I have I have an old-time radio in my office. And it was given to me by my dad. And, you know, maybe that's my hidden audience at times, even when I'm on the radio or when I'm at work. But that radio is an old-time radio. Here's the story. So, my parents in the 70s had this opportunity to buy a company called Lindsay's. And I walked down, I'm 18, and I'm this, you know, kind of punk kid. But I've been saving my money. I've been working at the TV shop for, you know, well below minimum wage for the last, you know, seven years since I was, you know, like 12, and saving my money. And they had this opportunity, and they needed some money they needed $10,000 to buy this company. And, they didn't have any money. It was early 80s, and times was tough, and interest rates were at 20%. And I had some money in the bank, and I said, "Let me do it." So I walked into that smoke filled kitchen table, and I said, "I'll dump my whole bank. You can have everything I have." And it wasn't quite enough for them to buy the business, but they scraped up the extra few grand, and they bought that business. And when they bought that business, I dove all into the business. That's when I was, you know, starting to become a little bit of a man, I think, or a little bit of an adult. And later, as they made that thing succeed, and as I helped them, my dad, he gave me 1% of the company, and he gave me that old-time radio that sits on my place of importance in my life, in my office, in the Mark Tank. And so when I see that, I think about my hidden audience. I think about what's important to me. You know what? That 1% of the company, it wasn't worth very much. That radio, hey, it's just an old antique. He fixed it and it made it work. But you know what? They weren't worth a lot in terms of money, but they meant everything to me. To our hidden audience, to telling the right stories at the right time. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.